Praise the Lord, everyone, and welcome to Redeemed Life Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Chris Dwelly, and I have a fantastic show for you this week. We've got my favorite song done in a completely, totally different way in the Christian artist spotlight, and I've got a hidden gem of a poem that I found trolling around the interwebs. Our teaching continues on with our series entitled Learning from the Master, and today we're going to learn what Jesus taught about prayer, or communicating with God. So grab your Bibles, settle in, and let's get down to this. In today's Christian artist spotlight, we have my favorite song of all time, I Can Only Imagine. But this isn't the original version by Mercy Me, oh no. I was hunting around on YouTube, and I was looking for something different to play this week, and I came across this. It's a band called Seventh Day Slumber. You probably have heard them. They are huge in the Christian world. They covered this amazing song. It's rocking, it's upbeat, and it's permanently in my workout mix right now. So here's Seventh Day Slumber with I Can Only Imagine. In the Prophetic Poetics Corner this week, I bring you the Worship Mob. This is a group that originated out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, and it's exploded all over the world. They are a conglomerate of musicians and spoken word poets and pastors and teachers, and I found this hidden gem buried deep, deep, deep in their YouTube channel. It's such a simple and raw piece performed and written by Don McCaleb. Here's In the Shade of the Tree.
Not. Could God still love us after we got caught in our discontent? We kept the curse and threw away the core.
Empty blood from a heart that broke
to mend creation, to hold the damaged and the holy wholly together. Crowd scorned, back scourged, flesh torn, cruel thorns crowned his bowed brow. On this tree turned mocking throne, his agony, the overture to a symphony of amnesty that echoes through every soul's destiny, opening the curtain on eternity, his life peeled back, like skin wounded and bruised, to reveal this glorious God who died.
Man, I just dig that sound. It inspires me to get out my pen and start writing poetry again. Who knows? Maybe I'll share one of my pieces here someday. Now, let's dive into our teaching. At this pivotal time in our country, I think the topic we're going to discuss today is just really, really timely. We've been taught, or at least I hope we've been taught, that prayer is an essential part of our daily walk with Jesus. How else are we supposed to communicate with him if we don't have this constant daily dialogue with our Savior? So, I asked a group of people about their prayer life. I wanted to know how often they prayed, and what they prayed about, and who they prayed to, and did they ever see an outcome from it? And I found that the majority of people that I spoke to really had no idea how to pray. Most said that they prayed when things got really bad or they needed something from God or they needed God to do something in their lives. It was this sporadic communication that was more like talking at God instead of talking with God. Many believed in a higher power, but really weren't ready to commit to serving God. Many, if not most, did see an outcome from their prayer, but all too soon forgot and went back to the life of self-centeredness instead of a life of God-centeredness. So I decided what we're going to do is we're going to break prayer down step by step today, just the way that Jesus did. There's essentially three parts of prayer room when it comes to covering prayer. And so we're going to get right to it. So part number one, Jesus had to teach his disciples how to pray. This is the Message translation, and I really like the Message. I think it puts things in simple terms, but I love this translation of this scripture. I think it's just more impactful. In Luke 11, 1 through 4 and 9 through 13, the Bible says, "One day he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said, 'Master, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples.' So he said, 'When you pray, say, Father, reveal yourself to me. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you as we forgive others. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get it. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks you for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You are at least decent to your own children. And don't you think that the Father who conceived you in love will give you the Holy Spirit when you ask him?" Now, I could do a whole show on this scripture right here. Jesus says, when you pray, go directly to the Master. Father who is in heaven, reveal who you are. God, show me your plan in my situation, and I know what I want. But show me what you want for me in this situation. Jesus is telling us to set aside our own will and our own wants and to seek his will. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Provide for me, God. He knows what our needs are, even before we speak them into existence. He says all throughout the Bible, if we trust in him, he'll take care of our needs. Set the world right. There are so many things in this world that are wrong. Many are because the world has slowly and gradually drifted away from the comforting life that is in serving the Lord. God will set the world right again if we ask him to. Keep us forgiven with you as we forgive others. We've touched on this in previous episodes. We have to forgive others to be truly forgiven of our own sins. But the scripture says more than that. It says to keep us forgiven. It isn't enough to just keep asking God to forgive us when we fall. Don't get me wrong, that's important. But we need to ask God to keep us in that forgiven state and to give us the strength to move forward in that forgiveness. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. Part of the problem in the world right now is we are not being kept safe from ourselves. We're all born in sin and shaped in immorality, and that's exactly what the world is coming back to. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. The devil has been allowed to call the shots for far too long. He's been working like a puppet master, pulling his strings and creating havoc and chaos, because somewhere down the line we were told that we have to fear him. We often forget that Satan was a created being. That's right, he was created by God, and he was put under our control by the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. So the next time Satan attacks you, you call on the name of Jesus and you see the devil run. Man, I'm getting all fired up. I might just start shouting right here in the studio. Now, I added verses 9 through 13 because I think they're important. It's important to understand that when you pray, you need to be specific and direct with God. Ask and you'll get it. God the Father wants to bless us. He is limitless and unending, and so are the things that He will do for us. Now, this doesn't mean that everything that you ask for is going to be given to you. Chances are, if you ask for $1 million because you want to fill your pockets and you want to be rich, you're probably not going to get it. But if you ask for the finances to put a new roof on your church, or to be a blessing to somebody else, for example, you might just find yourself blessed beyond measure. It's all in the attitude and the reason you're asking. Remember, God knows the intent of your heart. Seek, and ye shall find. A lot of times we pray at God. We talk at God. We're looking for someone else to give us the answer to the question because that's easy. He gives us the Bible for a reason. There isn't a circumstance in our lives that isn't covered in the Bible. The Bible says that whatever circumstance you may find yourself in, God always provides a way out. Sometimes it's just seeking the answer. Sit down. Be quiet. Quiet yourself down and open up the pages of your Bible. Pretty soon you'll feel that the Holy Spirit start talking to you, and those pages, they come alive. And whatever you're going through doesn't seem so bad as it used to. And as your spirit calms down, most times, the answer is right there in front of you. Knock and the door will open. This is a big one. Jesus isn't going to hunt you down just to bless you. I mean, he could. He's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants. All throughout the New Testament, every account of Jesus healing someone, setting someone free, or blessing other people was because they sought him out. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the woman with the issue of blood. Here's this woman with a major infirmity for her time. She's hunched over. She's considered unclean. She's eating the dust of everyone that passes by, and she's been like that for years and years. She fights through these crowds of people just to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. And through that simple act of faith, Jesus heals her. But she had to make the first move. She knocked at Jesus' door, and he opened it. And we have to do the same thing. Jesus knows everything that goes on in our lives. He could step in and, with a single touch, fix everything. But then it wouldn't be a choice on our part anymore, would it? There needs to be an utter and complete dependence on Jesus directing our lives. There has to be a complete selling out to serving Jesus. And until that happens, we just have to keep knocking. There needs to be a directness when we pray. Not in the sense that we're demanding God to do something for us, or that we're trying to strike a bargain with him, because God doesn't work like that. God will never bargain with us. He is not the God of playing games. When you tell God you're going to do something, you better do it. Because when he tells you that he's going to do something, you better believe he does it. John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you." Again, this is an important scripture right here. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." You see, you have to be living for him, folks. It's not just enough to read your Bible every day. I know plenty of people, some of them are behind pulpits, that have a tremendous memory for Bible verse. If there's no life application, no positive fruit displayed in your life, you're just not getting it. Each and every day, and each and everything you do is done to glorify the one who created you. Does it make sense now? So Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And again, this is important because the majority of people out there really have no idea to pray. So take these scriptures, read them again, and get this down on how to pray. So the next thing that we need to talk about is preparing yourself to pray. Sure, there are times that there just isn't time to prepare yourself. Emergencies pop up, and you can still take that deep cleansing breath and get your mind and your heart focused on the task at hand. Psalm 46 and 10 is probably the best single piece of advice that I have ever found that was given in the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in all the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Stop running around like a lunatic, doubting and wondering how things are going to happen. It doesn't matter. It's not up to you how things are going to happen. God tells us to be still. Stop. Don't try to make things happen on your own power. Know that I am God. Know that He does everything, everything on this earth. And all we have to do is ask. My friend and my pastor, Kevin Kidd of River Rock Christian Fellowship, once told me, he told me to prayer write when I talk to God. And I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. At first, when I first met him and we were talking about this, I kind of thought he was a lunatic. Little did I know, he's become one of my closest friends. But I had no idea what he was talking about when he told me to prayer write when I pray. And basically what he told me was to take some time and separate myself from all the distractions of the world, which is not easy in my house. I have two little ones that are running around all the time. And I don't get a whole lot of time to just separate myself from God. It's either really, really early in the morning or really, really late at night like it is right now. And he told me to sit down in a quiet place, take my computer or take a pad of paper and a pen, and specifically ask God what I needed to know. Push out all the other thoughts and focus on what I had asked God to tell me. Then I was supposed to write down all the thoughts that came into my mind. God tends to talk to us in our subconscious more than our conscious. And after a while, I'd have pages and pages filled with these seemingly random thoughts until I sat down with my Bible and I weighed out what was there. In those pages, every single time I've done this, I found the answer exactly where I needed it. And I absolutely recommend that every one of you try this with something heavy that's weighing on your mind. Just grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, grab your computer if you're a better typer than a writer, and just sit down and have a conversation with God and let Him minister to your spirit and just write down the gentle voice that you hear in your spirit. The biggest part for me was being still and allowing God to talk to me. We live in this world with just constant, instant gratification, and I need to know now, now, now. And you know what? When we quiet our minds and we quiet our spirits and just allow God to minister to us, the answer comes like a wave that washes over us. It's this wave of peace and knowing and understanding immediately what God wants for us to do. And you can't ask for more than that. The third part of prayer is taking action. In 1 Samuel 3 and 10, it says, Then God came and stood before him as before, calling out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, I'm your servant. I'm ready to listen. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And do you want to know why? Because it's a perfect example of the obedience required of us to have that perfect relationship with God. God called, Samuel answered. This should be our response every time when God talks to us. When He responds to us in answer to a prayer, we need to be attentive and ready to listen and then take whatever action He directs us to do. In Mark 12:38 through 40, Jesus warns us. He continued teaching, Watch out for religious scholars. They love to walk around in academic gowns, preening in the radiance of public flattery, basking in the prominent positions, sitting at the head of the table every church function, and all the time they're exploiting the weak and the helpless. The longer their prayers, the worse they get. But they'll pay for it in the end. We need to pray from the heart, and not because others are around and they might lift you up as a great man or a woman of God, or that you're in a position of prominence. We need to pray from the heart because that's what God calls us to do. Those that are entrenched in old school law have shaped their worship and their praise and their relationship on tradition and rituals, not on heartfelt relationship and passion for our Savior. I can tell you that I've come across some very unchristian pastors that I wouldn't let lay hands on me and pray for me if I was on my deathbed. And I've come across the most unlikely saints that have the most beautiful prayer relationship with the Father. Just because they hold a position of prominence in the church doesn't mean that they have it all together enough to pray for people. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but just because they're up front in the church doesn't mean that they have it all together and they should be praying for people. We have the power and the authority to lay hands on and pray for one another, and we need to take that authority, and we need to take that gift that God gives us, and we need to pray for each other. We don't need to have the leaders of the church pray for us. The Bible does say to call for the elders of the church, but we can pray for each other. And when we pray for each other, we not only enrich the people that we're praying for, but we also get enriched and blessed by praying for those people too. So I recommend that you lay hands on each other and you pray for each other from your hearts. Matthew 5:44-45 says, "But I said to you, love your enemies, and pray for those that persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust." When you pray for people, pray from your heart. Even if those people oppose you, bless those that stand differently than you do, and let the light of Jesus shine on them through you. As we pray for them, may God prick their hearts and wash their sins away. So this week, spend a little time having a talk with Jesus. Block out 15 or 30 minutes a day and just seek God's will in your life. Pray for your loved ones. And pray for those that are really hard to love. Bless the world by lifting it up to the heavens and asking God to come into our lives just a little bit more. Until next week, know that I'm praying for you all, and I ask that God bless you with a redeemed life.